Yes, that's right. Don't change the channel. Don't or stop the podcast app that you're using or whatever. That Christmas music doesn't mean you have the wrong program. It actually means we're finally back in line with the David Barton tradition. We're way behind. I guess yesterday was the first day we did Christmas music. And we should have been doing it for like 6 months, according to our history over the last 20 years with David. So, David, does that give you like warm fuzzies? I mean, it's actually Christmas Eve. So, I mean, we're like in the David Barton zone today.
Well, actually, I mean, to put it frankly, we've got about 30-minute program here, and it all ought to be Christmas music. I mean, we're right up against it. If we just played Christmas music for the entire program, we would have the perfect tone for the rest of the week, man. It's just, I don't know why we're talking. Christmas music ought to be everything.
We could just have it. Tim, why don't we just ask Justin to just have Christmas music playing underneath us all day today? Would that help? Would that find the balance?
Yeah. As long as he doesn't put that in our headphones, then I'm totally fine. I would be so distracted if we're having a deep conversation all of a sudden, whether it's Bing Crosby, right, or Michael Bublé, or whoever it is, somebody comes in, King Cole comes in, and I'm like wanting to sing along or whatever happens. So, but yes, it'd be appropriate. And, you know, Dad, I was thinking about the Christmas music that, of course, in our family growing up, we played all year long. And I heard a pastor say over the weekend, and I've actually heard several different pastors on podcasts talk about this this December, which is super fun, that this notion of December 25th is when we obviously celebrate the birth of Jesus, but far more likely that it was a much warmer time when Jesus was there because the shepherds were out in the fields. And if it's winter time, shepherds aren't usually in fields. And just going through some of the details and some of the traditions around Christmas, but why it became the tradition it was and why it's still totally fine for Christians to have a Christmas tree, right? Obviously to give gifts, all these details, but to the point that nobody knows for sure when Jesus was born. Dad, I think now you are even more justified playing Christmas music all year long because, you know, it could have been somewhere in the summer, could have been the fall, the spring. Nobody knows for sure. Obviously, there's some guesses and maybe some theological strategic thoughts behind it, but I just thought
saying, Tim, is just in case, right? Like, play it safe.
Yeah.
Make sure you play Christmas music all year just to make sure.
It was a fun reminder to justify why it's okay when people get in to one of our trucks and they're like, why do you have Christmas music? And I my default is always like, well, I celebrate Jesus all year long, right? That's what I do. But anyway, I've digressed now. But yeah, it's not a bad idea to have Christmas music.
I'll give you some apologetic basis for this. See, everything we do and believe as Christians is because Jesus came and he taught and he lived and he died and was resurrected. But it all starts with the Jesus came. If Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't have the same faith. It wouldn't be the same. Everything is built around Jesus, and it all starts with him coming. So why not celebrate that 365 days of the year? Because had he not come, none of this would be happening at all. So that's got to be the day, right? So just celebrate it all year long.
Well, and it's obviously rooted in what has become in the more recent century, or I guess the generations, however we're going to describe this. But you know, John 3:16, being one of the most recognized verses that God so loved that he gave. And we can get into some of the Christmas traditions, whatever. But guys, one of the things that we talked about off air that we thought would be fun to get into today is obviously Thanksgiving. Most families, certainly for us, for all of us that are part of this program, we take time over Thanksgiving to look back and go, okay, what is it that God has done that we need to recognize and really appreciate? But that's really the whole theme of Christmas as well, is look what God has done. And we celebrate and appreciate what God has done. And so even though we're not quite like to the end of the year yet, there's a couple days left. It'll be next week when we celebrate New Year. With that being said, there are so many things that God has done and so many reasons we should be celebrating. Obviously, Jesus is the number one reason. It's the reason for the season. But just guys, already thinking back over this year, the things that God has allowed us to do, the conversations, the meetings, the conventions, the events, the legislation, when you start going down the list, it is amazing what we have been allowed to be part of. And I'm saying that in the sense of we've talked about now for months and probably for more than a year, we've been talking about the fact that God is on the move. And when God is on the move, there are a lot of times and moments when you are really fighting to do things and make a difference. that you, if you have eyes to see, you get somewhere and years go, man, God, this is amazing that you're allowing me to be part of something that you're doing, because this is really big and special. And guys, especially for all of us on this program, we're just a bunch of country boys who like guns and outdoors more than people. And yet God keeps allowing us to have connections, to have conversations, to impact things around the nation. And we thought it might be fun just to have a little review of some of the things that God has allowed us to be part of, and really some of the accomplishments that God has done. And Rick, obviously with Patriot Academy, with you guys building and expanding, with new things opening up this last year, with us at Wall Builders, with Dad, you getting to spend some time with President Trump and multiple meetings at the White House, the things we've done legislatively, it's just incredible. And so even though this is not a Thanksgiving program, it's still a recognize what God has done and given. And so, guys, let's just take a minute or two and let's just highlight and reflect. Rick, normally you're the one that's asking us and tossing to us. So I am going to be Rick Green. I'm putting on my Rick Green hat for a minute.
Oh, no.
And
you may want to rethink that decision, Tim. That may be something you want to have second thoughts on.
Well, knowing that as we are recording this podcast, this radio program right now, that you just came in from working outside to do this. So the hat that I would put on from you is maybe a little sweaty. It's broke in, right?
That's right. It's
beaming with labor. But Rick, what are things that for you, it's so obvious to look and go, man, God was on the move. And here are some things God allowed us to be part of. And here's some things that God accomplished this year.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking when you were first talking about this, this is kind of our, it's Christmas Eve. So let's pretend that we've captured Santa Claus as he was going to drop some presents under the tree, and we forced him to sit down and let us know who was naughty or nice this year. And for those who are just anti-Santa Claus, you got to listen tomorrow. Bill Federer is going to be with us, and we're going to break down the story of the actual Saint Nick. And it's really, really, really cool stuff. Really funny, too.
And we might slap some heretics, right? So
yes, we just might. We in good Saint Nick fashion. So anyway, I was thinking like naughty or nice. Like what are the there's so many organizations on the nice list this year that did great work, that worked with us, that worked with the White House, that have just been doing a lot of prep for the 250th. And of course, there's obviously been some naughty out there as well. There's been folks that have been trying to tear down the effort of rebuilding the country. But man, there's so many praise reports, so many good things, so many new people. You know, we've talked a lot here on the program about the response, not just from the kids, but from really every generation after Charlie's assassination to say, I want to be involved. I want to make a difference. I want to do something. You guys got to see that firsthand at AmFest last weekend. We talked a little bit about that on Monday. But man, I would just say overall, the best Christmas present to me this year has been that we get to be in a revival, that we get to be at a time where Patriot Academy and Wall Builders and our friends that, you know, the Federers and all the, you know, Mercury One and all these people, God has been preparing us for decades, literally, I believe, for this harvest and for this opportunity. So I am so looking forward to 2026 and 2027 as that harvest is literally, you know, we're literally out there training and equipping and then launching those young people. And like I said, there's people in their 70s and 80s that are coming to us now and saying, man, I want to make it count. I want to finish strong. I want to be a part of the solution. I've sat on the couch too long. I've been neutral for too long. I want to be a part of this. So I guess that's my biggest thing is just the tone, maybe it's attitude and aptitude that's out there right now. And then all of the things we've all been working on as a part of that are kind of downstream from that. Or maybe we would have done it anyway, but we would have felt like we were scratching and clawing in the trenches, where right now it feels like the wind's at our back and God's just placed us in this really special time.
Well, Rick, I know also with part of what the hope had been was for you to have a construction project underway right now. And obviously, you know, for both of our organizations, we had hoped to have a new building underway as well. We are working on building a new kind of shipping fulfillment center building, and we're going to build a new podcast, a filming studio, and lots of things that we think can be very valuable going forward. And I'm saying that because the city was not as friendly in helping us get some of this done. For us, where we are wall builders, I know for you, we were praying so much with and for you. And so it didn't go exactly as you had hoped. And yet in the midst of God having a different plan than when obviously what our plans had been, there's been growth and expansion at Patriot Academy. You've grown programs, you've started new things. What are some of the things that you guys have grown and expanded this past year?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I think we've always been the Greens and the Bartons on parallel paths in a way, and so many of the same experiences happening to us. But the development stuff is almost comical. It would be funny if it wasn't so frustrating that we've been delayed. But my pastor earlier this week was talking about frustration, and I know David, you're going to like this. He literally was in his sermon talking about the scene in The Right Stuff when Chuck Yeager's about to break the sound barrier and the plane is, you know, just shaking and everything's cracking and it's like it's gonna fall up. It's like everything's gonna fall apart right before that sonic boom and right before you hit that other dimension, and then it's all of a sudden smooth. And his point being, you know, that we may be in some of those frustrating things, but that means that God's got us really close to that breakthrough. And so I think for both of us, both of our organizations, it's very much that our timing, we wanted to get some more things done this year. You know, we wanted to get Independence Hall built and Constitution City established and all those things. But another thing my pastor said is, look, God's delays are not, they're just not yet. And it's in his timing, and just having that peace and that faith that his timing is much better than ours is the only way to deal with that frustration without it getting to us. And David, you taught me a long, long time ago, man, when I first came on board with you. I'm sure you remember me being a little bit of a young whippersnapper, wanting to charge every hill and maybe a little too high in emotion for the wins and too low for the losses. And you were just always that even keel, and always, like, no matter what happened, you just said, okay, what's next? And it was always that servant leadership and living out that parable where the master comes in and you make dinner and you do all, you just don't stop. You do your duty and you keep doing your duty. And I think that has paid off for wall builders over the last 40 years. It's paying off for Patriot Academy now after 25 years and me finally listening to you and some of that finally rubbing off. But yeah, we did our Patriot Institute doubled. We just had a huge influx of students that wanted to spend a whole year with us and really get grounded. And we're just seeing a tremendous amount of fruit from that labor. And I think that's going to continue to grow exponentially in the next few years. It's kind of the new model. We've seen Summit Ministries launch one of these now. Turning Point Academy's launching one. And I went up and visited with their students and leaders a couple of weeks ago. Really cool to see what's happening with them at Southwest Theological, where they're hosting theirs. Of course, Leaders Academy is the one that, you know, Applied Life and Tim Brooks paved the way for this. You know, they started 40 years ago. And so anyway, all of that to say, I think a lot of the seed that was planted decades ago, we're seeing the fruit of it now. And yes, I do wish in some ways that everything had been accomplished that we set out to do in 2025, but I am comfortable and faithful and living in faith that God has a better plan. And actually, David, again, you are the one that said just about 2 months ago, you're like, Rick, don't forget, the 250th doesn't end on July 4th, 2026. It begins. We got a whole year to do this. So you bought me some time, brother. I got a year to be a little bit more patient. Let's take a break. We'll come back from the break, and then let's talk about some of the blessings for Wall Builders this year and some of the new things that Wall Builders is doing. Stay with us, folks. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Have you noticed the vacuum of leadership in America? We're looking around for leaders of principle to step up, and too often, no one is there. God is raising up a generation of young leaders with a passion for impacting the world around them. They're crying out for the mentorship and leadership training they need. Patriot Academy was created to meet that need. Patriot Academy graduates now serve in state capitals around America, in the halls of Congress, in business, in the film industry, in the pulpit, in every area of the culture. They're leading effectively and impacting the world around them. Patriot Academy is now expanding across the nation, and now's your chance to experience this life-changing week that trains champions to change the world. Visit patriotacademy.com for dates and locations. Our core program is still for young leaders, 16 to 25 years old, but we also now have a citizen track for adults. So visit the website today to learn more. Help us fill the void of leadership in America. Join us in training champions to change the world at patriotacademy.com.
Welcome back to the Wobbler Show. It's Christmas Eve, so whether you're listening to this on Christmas Eve while you're putting toys together or, you know, whatever it is that maybe you're even staying up late and listening to this on the recording as you put things together for Christmas Day, or you're listening to it later in the week, we're just making this a day to celebrate the year and just be thankful for so many gifts from the Lord this year to all the organizations that we work with. So we were talking a little bit about some of the things that that Patriot Academy's been blessed with this year. Wallbuilders, all kinds of new things, a real close relationship with the White House and just some cool stuff. You guys got to go to Mar-a-Lago twice. Y'all are seeing tremendous fruit from so many things that you've been working on over the years. 250th is looking really, really promising for Wallbuilders.
Well, it is. And saying this, I mean, Rick, obviously, the same for you, right? Our schedules are going to be so full this next year. But one of the things that has been really refreshing, I've told many people, especially the end of this year, looking back, this was one of the busiest years we've had at Wallbuilders, maybe ever. It's hard for me to factor that because there were many years at Wallbuilders when I was a young kid. We grew up in a 15-passenger van. And so I don't have the perspective to know how busy things always were. Dad, you can maybe give some context on that as well. But it feels like this has been one of the busiest years. And yet, it's also felt like one of the most productive. And there are times that I'm sure, Rick, Dad, you have experienced, and maybe you had more mental maturity with this than at times I have felt, where sometimes I feel like I've been so busy and I'm not sure that it's accomplishing everything I would like it to accomplish, right? Like sometimes you do something and you're like, that was really good and you know it was good. And then sometimes you're like, I'm doing so much and I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if it's having, right? Am I sowing seeds in good soil? Like, I'm just not sure. But this year has felt very unique in that the busyness felt incredibly productive. And honestly, there was very little of anything this year that didn't feel like it was productive in a sense that God's hand was on it doing something. And I mean, Dad, starting off the beginning of this year, when early on you get invited to the White House. And of course, we have some friends that are in the administration. We have a lot of friends that serve in the House and the Senate. And so it was maybe not super surprising that you were invited to be with a smaller group going up in D.C. to the White House. But then when you got invited to go in and meet President Trump, and President Trump literally gives you a challenge coin. I mean, there were some amazing moments from this year. And some of those, there are a lot of projects underway. Some things, hopefully some people will be able to see next year. Some things are a little bit behind the scenes for strategic reasons, not trying to let opposition have the game plan as the game is underway, right? So strategically, there's some things we're not talking about, but Dad, it does seem like that God has opened up a lot of really unique doors this year, given some really significant connections. And you are getting calls all the time. And I will throw a caveat for all the listeners. Because, Dad, you grew up in a generation where technology was a lot different. You grew up with typewriters, right? Not computers. Now, saying that you're not a digital native, but you have absolutely immigrated, you are doing great. But I do want to caveat that you have more voicemails and more unopened text messages than most people would even fathom or believe. And so I'm saying a little caveat that you're getting so many calls that you're not even able to answer and navigate all of them. But when you are able to take a phone call, it seems really amazing the people that are calling you, the conversations you are having, and then literally the information that you are helping give them about something, a constitutional, biblical foundation, whatever it is. They're literally taking that and applying it. And within a couple of hours, a couple of days, or a couple of weeks, it seems like we're seeing direct action from some of the phone calls and conversations you've had from some of these people that are reaching out, looking for just some perspective. And it seems like God has given you so many unique opportunities this year.
Yeah, there have been remarkable opportunities. And I think, you know, we have the biblical example of some sow, some water, and some reap. You know, they're all part of the harvest, but the people who plow the ground and sow often don't see the reaping that happens on the other end. And sometimes those that reap on the other end and see all the fruits, they don't think about the people who plowed the ground and planted the seed and watered it. And so we've been planting and doing a lot of watering for a lot of years. And now we're seeing harvest that just, as you said, Tim, is absolutely amazing to see genuinely national things happening that are changing across the nation, not just a city council here or a state rep there or whatever. I mean, genuinely things that I think none of us would have foreseen last year, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. So there's been some really big changes for sure.
Well, and Dad, one of the things that got you started doing all of this, the wall builders thing in the first place, like Nehemiah, let's go back and rebuild the wall. You recognized that the significant portion of the wall that had been torn down was the religious, the moral foundation of the nation. Going back to when the Supreme Court, the radical Supreme Court of the 60s, said, hey, we don't need the Bible. We don't need prayer in school anymore, right? Separation of church and state. The founding fathers wouldn't want that to be there. Violates the establishment clause, blah, blah, blah. And this was part of what got you involved in the first place. And then, of course, in 1980, there was a Stone v. Graham decision where the Supreme Court, again, radical Supreme Court, not basing it off original precedent, original constitutional precedent, and making these decisions. And they said, hey, Ten Commandments, those can't be in school. Kids can't see Ten Commandments, even though literally the Ten Commandments have been part of education from the Pilgrims up until 1980. The Supreme Court said, yeah, that's unacceptable for kids to see. The reason this is so interesting to me is the very things that got you involved, where you felt like God was leading you to go back and lead a charge to try to restore some of this faith foundation. And largely, you've done that by helping people try to understand the history, that so much of what we think we know is incorrect. We've been lied to in so many areas. And the thing that made America the most stable, prosperous, successful nation in the history of the world was, more than anything else, a faith foundation that gave us the moral virtue to be able to live freely and be so productive in the midst of it. And what's interesting, Dad, is that this year, like just for example, in Texas, we saw laws being passed where kids are able to pray in school, read their Bible in school, and the Ten Commandments are being posted in school again. The very thing that nearly 40 years ago led you to get involved, we are seeing positive steps taken for restoration of those very things that were removed. Now, this is Texas specifically. This hasn't happened in all 50 states, although there's some degree of this happening in many states right now. But the fact that God has even allowed us to be part of going, and now because of all the history and the research you've done, you're considered an expert on American history things. And because we have the documents to back it up, we're going and testifying in committees all over the nation and the state legislature, showing here's the history and tradition. Like, here's the way it used to be. Here's where things radically changed. And actually, here's the reason we can bring those back now. That it does seem really incredible that John Quincy Adams, to contrast, fought his entire life against slavery and didn't live to see slavery abolished. And the fact that you have spent 40 years working to try to reteach people history to understand the importance of the biblical foundation in an effort to restore that foundation, and the fact that you're getting to see part of this happen this year, it is so incredible to me.
Yeah, it really is incredible. But, you know, recently, seeing all the stuff, and Tim, as you said, we've seen this going all year long, just amazing things happen that you know, 40 years ago, we didn't know were possible. But there's also kind of a cautionary tale that has really been kind of stirring me in recent weeks. And it goes back to something that happened literally. It's a warning. And Jesus, you know, he goes through all of his ministry, and he sees all these miracles, and people see the miracles, and people are raised from the dead and healed and so many things. And it's striking that in Luke 19, 41 through 44, he literally wept and cried for the people, because he said, you guys, you didn't understand the moment. You don't understand what time you're in. You don't understand the moment of your calling. You've missed the time. And so within that framework, I think that a lot of people right now are seeing what's happening, but man, don't miss the time. Don't miss where we are, the significance of it. And now's the time when it's going to, I think, start getting rough, because Jesus went through all that stuff. And then after that point, it started getting really rough for him, because the opposition got organized and said, hey, we got to stop this. This is making too much progress, too much support. We got to stop this. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at now. With all this stuff going the right direction, I expect the opposition to really kick it up. I don't think these guys are going to roll over and play dead and say, okay, you guys win, we were wrong. I think they really start doubling down. And I think the opposition is going to become harder now than what we've ever had. And what I go back to is the book of Nehemiah, where we start at the beginning. We read that book. I felt like I should read that book from start to finish every day, and I did that for 6 months. And Nehemiah was really clear. He said, look, if you don't participate in rebuilding the walls, you're not going to get to live inside the walls when they're finished. And I think that that's where we are now. People don't double down and get involved and really jump on helping restore this when it's about to get, I think, rougher than it has been, at least from the opposition. They're going to get louder and meaner and uglier. If you don't get in there and rebuild, you're not going to get to enjoy the benefits of all the good things that will eventually happen when we prevail.
But Dad, the big picture, I agree with you. I think, you know, if you look at the First and Second Great Awakening, they were more marked by conflict than they were by unity. And yet God was on the move. And I think the thing we're really celebrating is the fact that God has been on the move. As we look at Christmas tomorrow, right, celebrating the greatest gift God ever gave, obviously, Jesus, so thankful for that. But the fact is that God is a giver of gifts, and God has been giving gifts all throughout this year. And we've been the recipients of some pretty awesome gifts. And guys, as we celebrate Christmas, it's going to be a day of Thanksgiving for me in the midst of not just thanking God for Jesus, which is the most important one, but thanking God for all the good things he's done for us throughout this year.
Absolutely.
And so many things that we're seeing develop, like you said, that have been worked on for decades and decades. So good stuff. In fact, we'll probably pick this up on Friday with some of our good news. But tomorrow, Christmas Day, Bill Federer here to tell us about the real Saint Nick. Have a wonderful Christmas Eve, folks. Thanks for listening to The Wall Builder Show.